1 Corinthians 15:1 through 6 is a message of victory for us today. And it says, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I have preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of his brothers at the same time. One day, soon all believers will be with the Lord in heaven. Imagine the people you will be able to talk to Jesus, of course, and of Paul and John and Mary. But think of the moment of the thousands of people who walked with Jesus 2,000 years ago and came to know him personally as Savior and Lord. Their names are not written in the Bible, but they were still wonderfully touched by the Master Healer, Jesus Christ. Mark 6:56 says, "And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed."
Wow. Bethesda. Jesus came to Bethesda. Sleepy little. I shouldn't talk like that about Bethesda. It's my hometown. And I always love hometown. I love my hometown. I love the town. I love the village. I love the hills. I love the Sea of Tiberias. I can look out over that. It's always been my home. I hope it always will be. And my father gave his name to me. Joshub. Although it's not usually the name I'm called in town. Slow one. They yell at me across the street. Raka, stupid, a fool. Well, I don't really mind anymore. The Creator, blessed be He must understand. He must have made me this way for a reason. It's okay. It's okay. You know, since my parents died, I help out around the town, and that's how I make my living. I help people in town. I can mend nets. I go down on the seashore and help the guys mend nets and clean nets. And sometimes they give me some fish to eat as payment. You know, and I'll go into Nathan's shop. No, Nathan, you got to get to know Nathan. Nathan's a carpenter in town. And I can go in there and he lets me clean his shop because it gets all dusty and lots of wood and stuff around. He lets me clean his shop. And when the weather's bad, he lets me stay the night right there inside under the roof of his shop. I like that. But back at the seashore, back in the Sea of Tiberias, that's how I got to know a guy by the name of Philip. Philip was a fisherman. And Philip he's really kind of a nice guy, although you'd not expect Philip to be a guy that he would follow a religious leader. You know, he's kind of like some other fishermen I know, kind of rough in their talk and in their ways. And, you know, although he did once yell at a guy for calling me names. You know, I never did thank him for that. I need to do that. Well, Philip, once the rabbi came to town, Philip just kind of made himself scarce because Philip started following this rabbi from Nazareth. And the only time Philip would be in town since then was when Jesus was in town. When Jesus came to town, then I knew Philip was in town. Ah, but you want to hear about Jesus, don't you? Well, the first time I saw Jesus, I was running in the corner to get into Nathan's shop, and I almost knocked him down. He was standing in the doorway watching Nathan work on a plow handle, and Jesus was telling him how to shape the wood more proper. And I ran right into him. I said, "Oh, forgive me, Rabbi." And he said, "You are Joshub." And I said, "Well, yes, yes, but I'm called by other names in this town." And he just kind of smiled at me, and he said, "Well, that's all right." He said, "People call me by other names too." And he would have kept talking, but I kind of shrunk away and I ran away. I was embarrassed, and I thought the better of it. I did. And I went back to talk to him some more, to see him some more, but he and the disciples they had left. Now, the second time I saw Jesus was, it was many months later. And I must confess to you, I did not think about him much since that day in Nathan's carpenter shop. I do remember it was a nice summer sunny day. It was beautiful out, like today. And I know that the fishing was bad. I remember being really hungry. The fishing had been really bad for a long time. And so I knew that there was no reason for me to even go to the shore to help people with nets, because they wouldn't even get out there and their nets would be hurting, you know. And there was no reason to spend much time in town because everybody seemed to be gone. And so I said, I'm here pretty much alone. I might as well just walk up on the hillside and spend some time in the hill by myself where nobody can make fun of me. And I'll just go up on the hill and watch and just kind of look out over the sea and rest. And so I start walking up the hill outside of town. And I start getting to the top of this hill and I start hearing voices. I'm looking around. There's nobody. I see no one. I thought, well, this is not right. This is not right. There's nobody here. But I walk up over the top of the hill and there everybody was. It looked like the whole town was there. There were thousands of people. There were men and there were women and there were boys and there were girls. And everybody, it looked like everybody was just trying to listen to one person right in the middle of the crowd. And I was way away from whoever it was, but I tried to get close. And I figured, you know, it must be Jesus. It was. And I got as close as I could. And I sat down on the grass like everybody else was doing. And I just tried to listen to His words. And I was close enough that I could hear His words plainly. But you know, words don't mean, they've never meant that much to me. I'm so dull. And besides, my stomach was just so empty and I was so hungry. And it was just growling, and I just kind of laid down in the grass there, and I started falling asleep after a little bit. But then I heard a barakah being pronounced for a meal. Oh, that woke me up. Well, let's see. Blessed be thou, eternal creator of the universe, who makes bread come forth from the earth. I got it. It was Jesus saying a blessing over a meal. And I got up right away and I looked. What is it? And He had a few pieces of bread and He had a little bit of fish. And I thought, well, that's not very much. Well, maybe He's going to feed His disciples. Maybe He and His disciples are going to have a little meal. And then I thought about it. Says, well, this is not right. This is not right. There's not enough even for them. And then He started dividing it all up and putting in baskets that His disciples had. And He says, you go share this with everyone here. I said, this is really not right. And there were some guys next to me. They used to yell at me all the time when I was little. They would taunt me. And they started taunting Jesus for this foolish act. And He says, yes, Jesus, we'd like to have our baskets full, if you please. It was Philip. who obliged them. He says, well, bring your basket over here. And he filled their basket full. For once, those guys were speechless. Oh, I hate my fill. Oh, it felt so good to be full. And I just lay down in the grass and I listened to the teacher teach. And I fell asleep. And when I awoke, everyone, including the teacher, was gone. The third time I saw Jesus, it was over a year later. It was a cool spring evening. And I remember because Passover was near, yes. And I remember looking out and seeing Philip come out of his father's house. And I said, oh, Philip is in town. Jesus is in town. If Philip's in town, Jesus is in town. And I walked out and I got Philip's attention. You know what? Philip came over to me. He says, how are you, Joshua? He remembered my name. He says, how have you been? Are people still picking on you? I don't know what I said to him, but I do know that I asked him, where is Jesus? And he said, well, it's a secret where Jesus is. But you can keep a secret, can't you? Yeah, I can keep a secret. I can keep a secret, Philip. And he said, he is staying at Nathan's shop. I said, well, this is not right. This is not right. If he would be in town, he would maybe stay at Nathan's house, but he doesn't stay at Nathan's shop. That's where I stay when the weather's bad. He says, no, he's at his shop. And you know what, Philip, he was kind of strange. He was kind of looking around and looking into the shadows like he didn't want anybody else to see him. And I wanted to ask him some more questions about what he has been doing, but he was off. He was off toward the shop, and so I followed him. And he got to the door, and with just a whisper at the door, they let him in, and they let me in. And there was just one candle lighting up his shop, and I looked, and there was his disciples, and there was Jesus. And the disciples were scared when they saw me. They didn't know who I was. And Philip had to say, well, no, it's okay. He said, this is all right, it's all right. Joshua is a friend. He's a real friend. And so that calmed them down. But Jesus, he was just sitting there on the floor in a corner. And his back was up against a cold stone wall. And he, you know what? He had in his hand one of Nathan's carpenter mallets. You know, it was, you know, a wooden little mallet. And he just kind of moved it from one hand to the other, back and forth. And he looked up at me. He says, I know you. I says, yes, Lord, I almost knocked you down once, but it was long ago. He says, they call you names. Stupid and slow and a fool. And when he said those, when he said that, I could see on his face the pain all those years that I had suffered under when those names were called to me. He says, but you're not stupid, Joshua. Within your night, within this very night, for you is available all the wisdom of God. And after he said that, he laid the hammer down and he reached out and he took my hand. He says, don't let him call you slow, Joshua. Wisdom is yours. Truth is yours. Do you believe this? And I says, oh Lord, I'm not a man of words. What does wisdom have to do with a fool like me? And a tear ran down his face. He said, oh, you're wiser than you know. And he leaned back against that cold wall again. And his voice got darker. He said, "This might be the last time we see each other, my friend. I'm on my way to Jerusalem." You know, when he called me friend, something moved inside of me. I realized it. Of all the things I'd always been called, no one had ever called me friend. I said, "I want to see you again, Jesus, my friend." Oh, I stammered. I was embarrassed. I wanted to run away. But Jesus says, "Is that really what you want?" I said, "Oh, Lord, that is all I desire." And he said, "Then you shall have all that you desire." The next morning I awoke. Nathan was shaking my shoulder. He says, Joshua, wake up. What's that in your hand?" And I looked, and it was that wooden mallet that Jesus was holding the night before. You know, as I remember back, as I think back, I don't remember the words. I have trouble with words, but I do remember the stories. People tell me that Jesus raised a man from the dead. And Nathan, he told me about a man that, and people picked on him too. He was blind. He was born blind. And Jesus did. He mended his eyes. Ooh, so he could see. I can mend nets. Jesus says, "I'm wise." I don't understand. But I do believe Jesus is who he says he is. Jesus said he is the Son of God. And he is risen, my friends. He is risen. You know, today I follow Nathan around a lot now. You know, Nathan has changed too. He's more like the rabbi. He's more like Jesus. I love Nathan. And I love Jesus. The gentle healer came into our town today. He touched blind eyes and their darkness left to stay. But more than the blindness, he took their sins away. The gentle healer came into our town today. The gentle healer came into our town today. He spoke one word, that was all he had to say. And the one who had died just rose up straight away. The gentle healer came into our town today. Oh, he seems like just an ordinary man, with dirty feet and rough but gentle hands. But the words he says are hard to understand. And yet he seems like just an ordinary man. The gentle healer, he left our town today. I just looked around, found he'd gone away. But the folks from town who follow him, they say that the gentle healer is the truth, the life, the way. Amen. Shalom. I can't begin to guess your walk. But let me tell you, without Jesus Christ, any walk is fruitless. Please examine your life. Please examine your walk. And if you've not given your heart to Jesus Christ, if you've not asked Him to come in and start that relationship with you, why not today? Why not now? Let's stand for prayer. I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. I know so many that today have already taken this first step. But the prayer would go something like this. Dear Jesus, I need You. I believe that You are the Son of God. And Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And I need my sins forgiven. And I know You're the only way that they can be. So I'd ask You now, Lord, to forgive my sins. Change me, Lord. I want a relationship with You. Heal me, Lord. And Father, make me the kind of person that You want me to be. From this day forward, Lord, I will live for You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.